Thank you. Thank you. Double dessert. Double dessert. Can somebody help me with these brochures? Because I want to give away a brochure to everyone that wants to join in one of those trips. See if you have a... Yeah, go ahead. Just pick them. See, if you desire to go on one of those trips, just lift your hand. We'll give you one of those brochures. The first three people will get a color brochure. The rest of you, black and white. So whoever is first to raise your hand, get the more color. But there are four trips that we do per year, and they're very amazing. They're supernatural, and they're unforgettable experiences, because it used to be where we pass out tracts and soul witness. Now we are the tracts, and we are the living epistles, and God is writing His message upon our hearts, not with ink. And as we go, people read. People read in their heart His message. Amen. So we empower you. When you come with us, we empower you. To just like Pastor Brand is the same way. Release or empower to you, every believer, to be used by God. Amen. So we empower you. And one of the things we train, extensive training, it goes like this. Open your arms. Now go give Him a hug. And the hugs are so powerful. Holy Ghost hugs. These are the hugs of the Abba Father. And we anoint you with these hugs. And we've seen amazing miracles and healing takes place from just the hug. You know what? We also seen demons leave people when we hug the people. And you realize, you know, we didn't realize that first, but we realize now, demons don't like hugs. Since you hug the people, they go, don't hug me. So they leave. We've seen it. Just amazing. This one girl from Izmir, a Turkish girl. And it just, as her mother saw all the miracles happening, she was too embarrassed to bring her daughter out during the, you know, this is in the streets of Izmir. This Izmir is an old city. The Church of Smyrna was started by Apostle Paul. Ephesus, Smyrna, right there. So we go all the way there because there's a gypsy neighborhood. The Lord has opened up the door for us to go to. And so we just put a block party. And by the way, it was against the law to witness until a couple of years ago in Turkey. Because of EU now, they opened up that. But before that, was against the law. And so the way to witness publicly is to get with the gypsies. And as long as they play their gypsy music and we give some food, the police leaves us alone, you know. Because that way they see it's a gypsy thing, so I just forget it, you know. But and then we lay hands on people and hug them, and miracles begin to happen. And one of our pastors goes, Georgia, can you... I can't even... This is a gypsy pastor from Bulgaria we use because they speak their language. And he said, Georgian, look at this lady. She just got healed. I forget now what it was. A really big miracle happened during this belly dance music. My gypsy pastor goes, God is amazing. God tends to break some rules sometimes, you know. And so anyways, but this particular situation... The lady, at the end, as we're leaving the neighborhood, we're saying goodbye. They don't want us to leave. This has happened over and over again now. Children from the neighborhood lay down in front of the tires of the buses. This is Muslim children. And, you know, and they said, don't go. And they lay down. They put their little bodies, which, you know, nobody tells them to do that. And this is totally God saying, hey, this is the time for the Muslims. They want to constrain. The Holy Spirit wants to constrain and says, come again and don't leave him, because I want to touch him. I want to heal him. I want to, you know, make him feel my presence. Muslims especially are very easy to witness through this new wine evangelism, where the release of the anointing, of this presence of God, the liquid where you can see, the tangible presence. This is amazing. We have a powerful tool. There's never been like this before. Other than the early apostles, when the tangible presence in Ephesus was so strong that even from the anointing of the apostles' hands were touching on napkins or objects like that, and the anointing, the overflow, the substance that was released upon these napkins was taken away, and as the napkins are laid on sick people, they get healed. extraordinary miracles. They get healed far away places, and demons leave people as you put the napkin on the person, and demons leave from seeing what's on and the substance. There's so much available. Lift your hand, everybody lift your hand. Father, I anoint the hands of the believers to release the substance of the Holy Spirit that is within us, Lord. We just release it. And upon even casual touching, handshake, mothers touching the children, releasing healing, releasing health, releasing protection. The evil one touches that. Father, I release the anointing that protects. Anointing that protects. Let this church be known for the healthiest congregation, Lord. Just supernaturally healthy. Children don't get any colds. They're always healthy. Let it be known, Lord. Let it be known that from the hands of the believers here, just leaks the anointing. Overflows. Let it overflow even right now, Lord. Let it overflow. Let the tangible presence, Lord. Let the tangible presence, the substance, Lord, that can be taken to faraway places, Lord. All over the Bay Area, Lord. All over the Bay Area, we release anointing that will heal the sick, will clean AIDS from the area, Lord. Come on, I'm after AIDS. AIDS cannot stand the blood of Jesus and the power in a believer who is indwelled with the living God, with the living God. Out of your belly shall flow and overflow through your hands, through your eyes, through your lips. Oh, holy kisses, holy looks. The look of God looking out through us. The face of God, the eyes of God shining through your eyes, Lord. I anoint, Lord, the smiles of this congregation. Let every smile be contagious. Let God smile upon the people around this area through just the smiles of the believers, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we just release these supernatural, powerful tools, Lord, that the religion have not allowed us before to believe, but now we're believing the truth. We're believing the secret is out, the mystery is out. Christ is in us, and we release you, Lord. We release you. We release your presence. We release you, Lord. We release you. In Jesus' name. Ha! Hallelujah. 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 Turn up a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I don't think it works now. Okay. So, if you like to come to one of these trips, Nicaragua, it's Christmas. You got to get up on the website, Global Celebration, and sign up right away if you're interested, because we have a couple more seats in the bus, but you need to move on. Nicaragua is right coming upon us. Within a month or less, we'll be there. Wow. A little over a month, we'll be there, hugging the orphans and... Then Israel, Mission of Peace. Oh, I'm so glad that you're coming at the same time. Hopefully we'll be together in some times, you know. And then we'll just, if you want to stay with us, if you want to be with us, you know, because you're limited to space or you're, yeah, this time. 9. So we're open for a whole bus of 50, you know. So come on our bus, and our bus gets so full of glory. How many have been with us? Lift your hand. You can tell. Testify. Just anointing just fills, and that's how we get so drunk with the glory. We don't know what we're doing. We don't think straight, you know. Like we went in Bethlehem last year, as you know, there's a huge wall guarding the city from the violence to come out, because there's just so much violence so close to Jerusalem, bombs and stuff like that. And so they finally fed up with it, so they walled the city so that it can stop in surveilling the city like that, the Israeli army. Well, inside the city, there's also 3 other very dangerous spots, especially the one large camp called Dahesha. And after Gaza is one of the most violent places. That, you know. So somehow the Lord opened the door for us to feed children there. And so we 500 kids could come out and we feed them. in the United Nations building right next door to this camp. Well, when we got there, the guy who was working this whole deal out, his name is Jihad Ramadan. Quite a character. And somehow his effort got sabotaged by the mosque. The leaders of the mosque found out we're not just a charitable United Nations kind of organizations. We are rather Christians who want to, you know, feed the children. And says, no way. We're not. Nobody should let their children out. And so they forbid. And they have authority, a lot of that. Well, here we are, 50 or 60 of we were less than that day, first time. And Jihad Ramadan is killing time waiting for the children to come and telling us why they hate us and why they want to kill us and why they're justified for that and so on and so forth. So we go, okay, we laugh, we look at him, well, but we love you, you know. So he tells us why they hate us, well, we love you, you know. So he's finally texting or talking to his friends inside the camp and, you know, and they says, no, nobody's coming. So he's embarrassed. This guy's embarrassed now. So I says, listen, Jihad, chill out, man. It's okay. If they don't come, let us go in there. It's better. I like that better, you know, because I like to go inside neighborhoods. We worship live, worship dancing, flags like that, and acoustic praise. And so this is what we do everywhere. Gypsy neighbors everywhere. And we bring the food in there. And he goes, you going in there? You're crazy. I go, I know that. That's already, that's a true fact. I know that. I've been told that many times. So, but we love you and we love your people and we want to feed them. Because the Bible says if your enemy is hungry, what? Feed him. Why is that? Well, because it's difficult to kill you while you're feeding him, you know. It's like, okay, eat now. Later on, think about it, you know. Now first eat. Just come on. So, God is smart, you know, He knows what to do, right? So, we do what God says. And we're so too drunk to really realize what's going on here. We go inside, he thought, okay, this is crazy, this absolutely never happened before. So we walk inside and we're dancing and singing and giving the food. Before you know it, children are surrounding us like swarms of kids and they're all... They're excited and see the music that had never happened before. We play the violin and everything. Before you know it, parents come out. And they go, what's going on? And we look at them and we're smiling. And then we start hugging them. They go, they don't know what to do. Before you know it, they're smiling back and they're relaxing because this is not supposed to happen and it's happening and they don't know what to do. You know, and we're dancing and giving away the food. Once we gave away all the food, then he escorted us out. He got us out. Next day, we're among Israeli soldiers, and they surveil and the cameras and everything. So the captain was talking. He says, you know, we're aware of what you did yesterday, you know, in the camp. And he says, it was pretty impressive what you did, how you changed everything in there. I go, what do you mean? What did we change? He says, well, what you changed is the fact that you went in and now you come out. That's a big change. That's a big change, he said, Israeli. And that soldier actually told Karen, Karen is one of our contacts, you know Karen, that when his term of Israeli term as an army is over, he'll join the worship, that prophetic worship. Because he says, he's not a Christian, he doesn't not want to accept Christ necessarily, but he just is a musician, a worshiper. And he's seeing the only thing that brings change is that worship. And so Karen, amazing. Wow. So what you have here is what you're going to bring, that power. It's a power of worship. It's such a weapon. It disarms, opens heavens, angels come in. As we worship, angels come in through our spirit. Angels come in. How many know? Like, so many people want to go to heaven. Now it's like a popular thing, go trips to heaven, you know. Some go to Israel, others to heaven. Want to go to heaven. Tour guides to go to heaven. Well, my question is, why do I have to go somewhere where I'm already there? You know? So, why do I go? I am there. And my problem is not going to heaven. My problem is getting heaven here. I'm trying to get heaven right here. I'm already seated, so are you. Amen. So we need to get heaven where we're seated in here and release the authority that we're seated with. We're seated in heavenly places to rule with Christ Jesus right here. The rule is to be established here. I mean, His rule on earth. Hallelujah. Wow. So it's Israel. In fact, we're going to go to two hospitals, two Israeli army hospitals, veterans and blown up without limbs. And we're going to believe for creative miracles. Amen. Love on the soldiers. Two hospitals are giving us a one day to hang out and love on the soldiers. They're very young people. They're always young soldiers. So beautiful young. We're going to pray. Trauma units and so on. And one whole day will be worship in Bethlehem. It's organized by Palestinian Christians. Wow. In the same place where David says, I wish I had some of that water. And the two of his mighty men went in right in the midst of the enemy camp. And then bring it to this king. Because he couldn't even drink it. It's so holy, so amazing. Because the supernatural way God did it, that he knows that is God helping. Two guys go inside a huge garnison of people. Can you imagine that? This is a God thing. So David saw God fighting and getting. This is too holy. This was a God who brought it. I mean, you know, when you're warring for God, God is inside you. And He's doing supernatural victories through you. We empower you. We empower you. Amen. So anyways, Israel and then gypsies, parties with the gypsy every summer is a favorite thing. Romania, Bulgaria, and Turkey. Start with Bulgaria. Now we're going all over the Balkans. And finally, in Mozambique, in the summer, we go with Heidi. We were just there September. And it's amazing to be with Heidi and stand with her and support her. There's villages who have no water. Water is so hard to find in this village where we went. We fed the whole village with goat meat. You know, it was a goat feast we did in this particular village. But you know what? They appreciate the food. But what really went crazy over bottles of water, plastic bottles, they were fighting for the water. Takes 2.5 hours one way to get water and 2.5 hours to bring walking water. So he says, we want to do something about these villages. And she's now got a big drill thing. And for $4,000, we can put a well inside the villages. So we brought one money for one well, and then somebody matched us just before we went in, so we brought money for two wells to establish water. So the Lord just, and I just pray for more of these wells to get dug everywhere. Amen. She's got thousands of churches and they could use wells right next to the church, right in front of the church. They come for the water, then go for the living water. It's a good plan. I like it. I believe that in our lifetime, as a nation together, as a born-again nation, in our lifetime, we can see hunger abolished to where not one human being goes to bed hungry. Isn't that a great goal? To say every human being on earth, and God can use us, the Christian community, to take care of that. How? I don't know, but I'm believing it. How about you? Would you join me in just believing, dreaming that in our lifetime, so we can pass to our generation, next generation, a world where everybody has at least a bowl of food to go to bed with. Amen? I mean, that thousands or millions are hungry like this because we go around and we know. And you know, God fed the whole nation supernaturally, millions, 2 million people. He fed them with manna. Absolutely possible for God to do it. Come on. It's been done by our God. And He can use us. And we can partner together. We can use us to just destroy the whip of hunger. The torment of hunger. I don't know about you, but when I get hungry, I am in pain. And I love to eat. So every time I think like this, what if I couldn't find nothing? You know, what a terrible thing. Amen. So let's just believe together. Father, use us as a community, Christian community, Lord, all over the world together. Unite us in such a way. Raise leadership. Raise Moseses, Lord, that will just feed nations. We feed every hunger person, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, to use us, to bless us so lavishly. I will bless you so lavishly. Deuteronomy chapter 15. My people, I will bless you so lavishly that you can take care of the poor among you. Oh, Father, I bless this outreach right here, Lord. Yes. That 300 that you fed, Lord, last year, let it turn into 3,000, Lord. Yes. Yes. Give, Lord, this awesome minister of God who says it's not I, but Christ. Oh, yes. It's not me. It's a Holy Ghost outreach. Lord, we honor you. Exalt you. Yes. And say, without you, we can do nothing. Yes. But with you, Lord, all things are possible. Yes. Father, we unite our hands together. Yes. More so, we unite our hearts. Yes. Christ in you and Christ in me. Yes. Christ in us. Yes. The hope of glory will bring hope to every hungry person. Yes. That Jesus can feed them all. Yes. He can heal them all. Yes. And He can feed them all. Multiply the fish and the loaves, Jesus. Even this year, Lord, let it be just crazy. Let it be crazy, Lord. Astound my brother, Lord. Yes. And Lord, yes. We just want to link together, Lord,
yes. Yes.
For the global, whoa. For the global feeding, Lord, for the vision of global feeding, yes. every hungry person to have something to eat, Lord, yes. Not to go to bed starving, Lord,
yes.
But to go to bed thanking God,
yes.
Thanking God that,
yes.
that God is alive,
yes.
And He's bringing a bowl of food,
yes.
In Jesus' name,
yes.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, brother. God bless you. Oh, you're my kind of guy. Whoa. I love to eat. That's how I got saved, through food. Because I was an atheist, you know. I didn't believe. The communists made sure my mind is washed, brainwashed, you know. No God, you know. Well, the Christians that was witnessing to me back in the 70s when I arrived here and I was down in Los Angeles. And they were, they realized that witnessing and the nut goes no place. Because I'm an atheist, plus I don't speak English too well. So just like, so they go, oh, how about this? You hungry? I go, oh yeah, I talk that language, I know. No translation needed. So they brought me to the house and they fed me, you know. Of course, they pray for the food, you know. And you know, talk about napkins. They, you know, Paul lay hands on napkins. Well, these guys lay hands on hamburger buns and hot dogs, everything they feed me. So it goes inside me and start working in me. This anointing goes inside me. I just eat. But else says, what is going on here? What is this food? Something's happening to me. I don't understand. It's the anointing. Anyways, for 2 months they fed me. And every time I says, I got to get out of here, my mind goes, there's no such thing. There's no God, of course, these guys. But my belly goes, oh, yes, there is. You better get back in there. I like these people. I believe in these people. I know. And that's how I got saved. After 2 months, my belly took me to Jesus. He wore my mind down. He wore my mind down. All my mind resistance went down. So food is a powerful weapon. Amen. Powerful weapon for the gospel. And I use it. And I use it. It's fantastic. Very effective. As I was meditating on the Lord and I just wanted to know what a specific word. I just have a word here and it has to do with ownership. Everybody say ownership. This is not the main, whatever called sermon, but this is an appetizer, like a little aperitif or whatever. This is, whoa. And so the Lord spoke a special word, like a word of knowledge here, a word of wisdom, whatever you want to call it. It's for ownership. This is a little bit, my Bibles are falling apart because they get so drunk and they trash them and it just, but I love my Bibles the way, you know, I need to glue them a little bit, but sometimes I feel like I'm a Bible abuser, you know, because like physically just, Wynn is the same way, she just sleeps with Bibles and she just, but it's so exciting to see Winnie and how the Lord has restored my wife, because when we were, you know, early years of the marriage, kind of, we experienced the difficulties and the religious things, and I didn't know how to be a good husband. I grew up in a broken home, and never saw my dad. Anyways, so I didn't have that in the natural, and so I didn't do very good as a husband at first, you know. And she got, it wasn't protected right, you know, and religious people managed to get. to discourage her, and she says, "I don't want to read the Bible anymore." I says, "Honey, at least one scripture a day will keep the devil away. You know, do something, you know." She goes, "No, I don't want to read it." I says, "Why?" She says, "Every time I open the Bible, a finger sticks out at me, tells me how bad I am. And I already know that, so I'm not going to read it anymore." And I go, "Oh, no." And I felt for her, but it was this, you know, points of view. Sometimes you pick a point of view from those who don't see Christ in you, and affirming, like these pastors here, affirming the truth about you. And we're coming to support you, pastor, to affirm that Christ is in you. Paul says, "I labor unto awareness to form him." You know, sometimes he gets deformed. Not that Christ is deformed, of course, but our view of him gets deformed. And we just lose the sight that he's inside us. You know, so we need to hear it again. We need to hear it again, to hear the truth of what Jesus did to live in you. All that he did on the cross was to forgive our sin and also to dwell inside us. He says he gave it his blood and he had his body. And we celebrate with the blood and the body, with the wine and the bread. What all the price he paid for all the washing of all our sins and making us his dwelling place. His dwelling place. He wants to own us. Moses says in Deuteronomy, it says, "Own us, Lord. Possess us." Excuse me, it's in Exodus. It says, "Possess us. Own us and possess us." That's corresponding to what I was, the word of ownership. Own us and possess us. It's rightful. It's your birthright to be possessed by God, to be owned by God. He protects what he owns. He protects his possession. Just like a man protects his family and his house and his property, you know, God protects you. God protects you with his staff. He guides you, and his rod protects you from the evil, you know. And so the evil one is a well. There's a way you can live where the evil one can touch you not. Amen. There's a place, this realm that he's provided, he's paid for. The wicked one touches it not. Touches not your family. Touches not your body. Touches not your children. Touches not your spouse. Touches it not. Oh, come on. Some of you look at me with a little bit of a Gentile look like, I'm going to slap that look off your face and give you the Jewish look like, Isaac, yes, he chose me to bless me. He chose me. See, Isaac is as a supernatural. He was not a normal kid. Neither you are. Neither are you. We're not normal. Come on. We're supernatural. Mom and dad could not do this. We're born again from the Spirit. We're born from above. We're sent from above right here on earth. The new you is just a beautiful creation of God. No human can create you. Abraham and Sarah, prototype of what you know, only God can do. And that's why God chose purposely a woman who could not bear, you know, in the natural. She was barren. Her womb was barren. Sarah was barren. And then, of course, Abraham was all right. But, you know, without his wife's womb, he couldn't fulfill what God says. God says, "I'm going to give you a son." So they just eventually realized, man, Sarah just can't have kids. So she gave his slave, her slave, her servant, for, and Hagar, you know. But Hagar couldn't produce Isaac. She produced Ishmael, the self-effort. Amen. And God says, "No, I'll give you a son from your own wife. From Sarah, because Sarah is the free woman. It corresponds to Mount Zion, New Jerusalem, who is a mother." That's what Paul says. Sarah was a type of the new birth, the you know. And so, but she in the natural couldn't have kids. Now Abraham is 100 years old. Now he can't father a kid no more. His loins are dead. So now we have two no good situations here. Both the man and the woman that cannot do nothing no more to fulfill this promise, this whatever plan of God is. And God goes, "Oh, good. Now I'm glad that now you know neither one of them can help me anymore, so I can do it myself." And that's what salvation is a supernatural act of God. You're divinely made. You're divinely, supernaturally remade. Amen. Your new creation is a divine. Whoa, completely God work. We cannot get the glory for being born again. We give him all the glory. All the glory for the supernatural being you are. Hallelujah. Woo! And so that's what Isaac is. Isaac showed up when neither mom nor dad can have a kid no more. And then out of the blue, one day, something's happening between them. Love affair started all over again. The wrinkles are gone all of a sudden. The 9 years old lady, come on. Somebody got to help me here. I got to see this situation transforming, changing. You know, all of a sudden, spots are gone, wrinkles are gone. She looked beautiful again. Hey, baby, whoa. Woo! What's this perfume you're wearing? Eternity, dummy, I've been wearing it all along. What's wrong with your nose? You got that Jewish nose. Can't smell. Smell the wake up, smell the roses. Amen. Oh, baby. And so before you know it, there's noises in the tent, you know. And of course, back then it was a tent. You know, you can hear everything. It's not like a motel or whatever house. It's a tent. So everybody's laughing like you. Ha ha, look at this. They're laughing because Abraham and Sarah are having fun, you know, and they're old, they're not supposed to, but they're now enjoying their marriage, a revival in the marriage. God wants to restore the marriage, amen, and bring love back, a big romance. We are the carriers of the romance of God, amen. So keep up with the romantic God you're serving, amen. And boom, before you know it, Isaac is coming. Isaac is kicking. You know, he's like, his name is Laughter. Why did God name his name Laughter? Because God is laughing at the situation is impossible. The human situation is impossible. Amen. The human race is beyond repair. It's impossible. We were born dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. I mean, we couldn't do nothing to help ourselves. We couldn't pray a prayer because we were spiritually dead. D-E-A-D. Right? Spell it right. D-E-A-D. Dead. You know what dead is? Don't exist. We were spiritually don't exist. This world around us that is moving around, but they spiritually don't exist. It takes supernatural power of God to resurrect them. Just like he resurrected you and me. And through you, he can resurrect this world around. You have the resurrection power to create birth. Through you, God is birthing. God is birthing life. Your church is going to explode with new souls. Like new wines, your vats are going to explode. New wines, rejoice, O barren one. Many of the children of the barren one. Supernaturally, God is giving children. Amen. Super, lengthen the cord. Expand. Because they're coming. They're coming for life. They're coming for resurrection. Wow. Through you. Hallelujah. We're like, yeah. And so here's Isaac shows up and he's laughing. Ha ha. Every time you turn around, Isaac is laughing. I mean, and it's, you can't even spank him without laughing. Come here. Ha ha. You've been a bad boy. Ha ha. You better behave. Ha ha. You know. It's a laughing. The whole thing is laughter, 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 joy, laughter, because God is so great. He's awesome. When things were no way, no way, Jose, God makes a way. Supernaturally. And that's what the story continues. We're still laughing. And Sarah said, they're all going to laugh with me when they hear my story. And we're still laughing with this story. Amen. Because there was absolutely no way, God made a way. He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to take away everything dead about you. He came to take it away, to absorb that. Absorb it and dissolve our deadness. Dissolve our deadness. He came to forgive us from our sin, but also to dissolve our deadness. You know, in the book of Romans, talks about the freedom from sin, freedom from the power of sin. You know, he deals with the word sin, I think in one chapter, this like 15 times. And 14 out of the 15 is not a verb, it's a noun. Sin is a noun, as the apostle was revealing the revelation, that God came to take you out of this domain. Sin is a domain, first and foremost, is a noun. And then is a verb. You know, so the verb deals with behavior. But first we deal with the entity. We are born inside a dead world, like a tomb, like an entity is dead. Like a system, you know, of this world is the world of sin, the world of Satan's ways of living, Satan's way of existence, as though you can exist without God. That's the problem. That's what sin is. Sin is his deception that he could exist without God. And it's this imaginary thing. He went insane. Satan went insane. Anybody that is in heaven seeing God and just want to live without God is just totally insane, right? Hello. We were born in this. I know. Communism. Insane. I've been there. I got a t-shirt. Born in a communist country. Looney Tune government. The self-glorifying, this is like, it's just like the whole thing is insanity. You know, if you want to understand the nature of communism, it's actually humanism. It's really it's a religion that says I'm God, I'm it. You know, and you can Google Karl Marx's poetry because he invented the communism. But look at his poetry. He's like a God hater. He says, I will hurt you by destroying the people you created for your glory. So that's what's in his poetry. I was born in that place. I didn't realize that that was underneath there until I left, and then I found out the poetry of Karl Marx. I thought it was a political system, economical system. Yes, but underneath it is a destructive system to destroy humans. God created the humans for His glory, for a pleasure, His pleasure, amen? And communism just wanted to disrupt that, you know. Well, when there was no way, God made a way. I got out. I escaped. God, I didn't know God. He got me out. He got me out because He created me to worship Him. And not to worship the communists because they made us to worship them. Every holiday, every communist holiday is preceded by rehearsals late at night where children are rehearsed to give praise and glory verbally to the communist government. And there's a big building, you know, where all the communist party, the top leaders are there, they're waving and they're receiving all the glory. And among the rockets and the power, military might and tanks and everything, here comes thousands of children. And they will stop and turn away, turn toward the communists, lift their little hands and say, glory to the communist party, verbally, glory, glory to the, you know. And that was in my lifetime. At night, we rehearsed that. This is a rehearsal. The next day looks spontaneous from the mouth of babes that prepare praise. Well, yeah, it was rehearsed. Forced rehearsed. You know, they bring the parents to do it. You know, and that's how they, you know. And but so as a musician, you know, we rebelled against this whole thing. And me and three boys started the first rock band as a rebellion to survive against this communist situation. And even though we weren't any good, but there was no other band to compete. And so they thought we were good. There was nobody else to prove anything else. And so we were D1, you know. And eventually it was on TV, there's only one channel. So the whole nation got to, you know, we had the number one band. Yeah, right. There's no number two, but that's okay. That's just how it goes. The number one band, top 10, you know. So we just rebelled, you know, our way of fighting this whole, you know, thing. And eventually they shut us down. We couldn't do this no more. And then that's why I escaped. And I came to America in about 1 year. I realized that within a year, I realized, you know, I don't feel free here. I'm supposed to feel free. It's the freest country in the world. Well, what's wrong with us? I don't feel free. You know, and it just, I ended up right here, first right here in San Francisco area, then went down. It was cold. It was winter. The winter time was very cold. And I went down south. In Hollywood, you know, and I got intercepted by these young Christians who were witnessing and looking at me with their eyes, and there's something leaking out, going, "Woo, Jesus loves you. He really does. What's with you? What are you on? What kind of drug are you on? Makes you just wonderful and happy and loving and joyful. This is not a drug, it's Jesus." Amen. Leaky eyes. There's a substance inside you. That's how I got saved, because something was coming out of the eyes of the witnessing believers. That's the power you have. It's Him inside. So practice smiling, because you never know who is just like me, doesn't know anything and ready to be saved. Amen. So practice smiling. He'll change the world. This would smile. Whoa, it's Jesus smiling. Wow. I'm all over the place. I gotta go back to the appetizer here. I'm supposed to go ownership. The word ownership. So I just say it, possession and ownership, okay? And I'll just say, and then we'll move on. So So it, God is it, in Deuteronomy in several spots. He says when I take you, pay attention in my teachings and what I'm teaching. He says, so when you go to the land you're about to enter, and take up ownership. You have to take up ownership. And so he talks about the great nation, and you know, and how to not to be intimidated by them, you know, and how to not to be afraid by them, but how God wants to possess that land through you, to you to take ownership. He says, I will clear out the superpowers. God will clear out Himself the superpowers that are in front of you. So do not be intimidated, because I'm the one who's going to clear out. Today, some of these superpowers are banking systems, and they're trying to enslave you, and all these, you know, markets and everything. And how many, really, for instance, you do not have your own house. You rent. You know, there's something absolutely wrong about that. The Lord has given me this revelation that every child of God is rightful to own your own place. Because God, your daddy, your Abba, owns it all. Owns everything. And so one of my mission is to just release the ownership, the authority to possess. Bonov is a Russian Jewish name. Actually means money. Bon is money. Bank comes from that. Bank, you know. So there's something in my genes on my father's side about money. Grandpa was a banker until communists stripped him off. But anyways, so there's something that is just rises within me, you know, to release that ownership spirit that God gave His original people, you know, Israeli, to as they move into the land. Today, you're the nation of God. We're grafted in the same vine, and it's God Himself. He wants to rule through you and possess through you. If you're believing for land, there's nothing wrong with your dream. There's nothing wrong with owning land. Some of you dream about owning a land, and you have no idea why. You feel like, there's nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly. Just to own it. Because God's going to put His presence, because it's yours. He put His presence on your land. Some will do things with it. But God wants to, and I just want to release that. Every time I come around here, especially if this is an expensive area, and it just rises within me, and I just want to release the faith of God on you. It's rightful for you to own. So Father, everyone that's lifted their hand, Lord, we just release that possession. That possession, and even this church should, it's rightful to have your own place. Not indebted, not this worldly way where it's just like bondage and pressure, but Lord, the same power that it says, I will clear the superpowers. When I, your God, usher you into the land, I promised your ancestor Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, you're going to walk into these large, bustling cities, which you didn't build, well-furnished houses which you did not buy, come upon wells you didn't dig, vineyards and olive orchards that you didn't plant. When you take it all in and settle down, pleased and content, just make sure you don't forget how you got here, how I brought you out of slavery of Egypt, and how I empower you to possess. Deeply respect the God, the Lord our God. Serve Him and worship Him exclusively. So Father, on the basis of this worship that You have released upon this church is the main course meal for every service, Lord. Father, I bless even that 1 6-hour worship time. Let there be supernatural things that happen through it as we're worshiping You exclusively. Exclusively. Exclusive for pleasure of God. Exclusive for His glory, Lord. Lord, I just release that ownership goes hand in hand with the exclusive worship. The jealous God. Oh, Father, we just release right now. I just want you to just take a moment to just imagine the house that God wants you to have. And please don't think about those 2-bedroom little rambler houses, okay? Because God's got much bigger plan than this for you. Think about hospitality. How about third extra bedroom, fourth extra bedroom. How about four bedroom, five bedroom for extra visitors? For your house. It's the house of God. For the prophet, for the man of God. Would you just receive it right now? It doesn't take more effort because it's God says, I will enable you to possess it. I will enable you. Father, we just give you praise. We're not thinking small. Father, just go ahead, dream this big dream, okay? With a large porch behind there with barbecues. So you can have food parties and invite neighbors. Smoking barbecues, I can see it. Smoking with ribs and things that you like to give away. Food in your refrigerators all the time. Supernaturally. This is happening already in America. Supernatural food is appearing. Some of our intercessors are testifying. Up to 150 kids get fed every day by this one single mom. Because she's opening her house and they're flooding in. They're flooding in and food appears from everywhere. Father, in Jesus' name, we just bless the house. We call it yours. We call it ownership. Ownership. Take possession. Take that possession. The title deed. It says God's. This is giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. Ownership. Take ownership. Don't be afraid of the loans. Don't be afraid of the payments. Don't be afraid. I'm thinking of every detail. I've created you to own. First, I created you to own you. I already own you. Your body is my house. That's the biggest miracle. The rest is small potatoes. It's nothing compared to what happened already. Nothing compared to the He's in you. Come on, give Him praise. Give Him praise. Father, we just bless. Father, we bless the people. Everybody own their own house. In Jesus' name. Amen. Woo! Okay, we own it. You know, it says here, do this because your people set apart for me. And God, your God, chose you out of all the people on earth for Himself as cherished personal treasure. Give me the Isaac look, because you're chosen to be God's. Let me just read it again. To be chosen for him as cherished, say cherish, personal treasure. Say, that's me. Give me the look like, yes, I believe it. Cherished personal treasure. Come on. Cherished personal treasure. Children are treasure of the parents. And you're God's parent. God's a parent. We're His treasure on earth. Give me the treasure look. Personal. He's a possessive God. He treasures you. He protects you. He wants you for Himself. And just yield to Him. Yield to Him. He's a jealous, consuming God. He's a consuming God. Whoa. Shabba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Consuming God. The scripture, it's just the history of our inheritance. The history, it is loaded with the supernatural, just manifestation of God who is in love. God who is in love, and He's mad at the enemy who starts to steal the human race, and He goes after it. And with signs and wonders, He shows throughout the history of our forefathers. Through signs and wonders, He shows. He shows how He's ready to download, ready to set, to destroy the enemy. He says, don't ever make treaty with them. Don't marry their daughters. Just I set you apart. I set you apart as a personal treasure. You know, in one translation, one scripture says, I gave different nations boundaries and angels are guarding them. But for you, I take you my hands, with my own hands. I put you in the apple of my eye. Oh, shakara, ba, 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 ba. Let me find it. It's really a precious, precious. It says, but when God, the high God, this is Deuteronomy 32. When God gave the nations their stake, He gave them their place on earth. He put each of the people with boundaries, you know, different nations, under the care of divine guardians. That's angels. But God Himself took charge of His people, took Jacob as His personal concern. Just bask in it. Because under your arms, others will come. under his personal concern. This is this Jewish way, like, I do this. It's just my father is like that. He liked to pinch my cheeks. He says he threw his arms. He found in the wilderness an empty, widespread wasteland. He threw his arms around them, lavish attention on them. This is Israel. Then now he grafted in it, guarding him as the apple of his eye. Guarding as the apple of his eye. I mean, don't get more precious than that. Throw his arms around, guard him with his apple of his eye. He's like, he was like eagle hovering over his nest, overshadowing its young. His wings, then spread his wings, lifting them into the air, teaching him how to fly. Come on, lift your hands. Lift the eagles. Let the teacher how to fly. God himself, God alone led you. Whoa, Shakarababa. He feasted on the crop of the fields. He fed you honey from the rock. Honey from the rock. Oil from the granite crags. Oh, come on, just drink of it. Just drink of his blessings. His personal attention, his personal concern is attention on you. I don't know about you, but when someone looking at you, you just act differently. But when someone's attention is on you, especially when they love you, and it just come to life. They see children who are just, you know, babies when they looked at, you know, and they just develop better, you know, because the attention makes us. That's how humans are made. And now we have the attention of God. When our daughter was born, it was a supernatural thing. We nearly lost her life and win his life, and the Lord spared. And it was a supernatural birth, you know. And I remember that it was a little premature and it was little bitty. And I remember this one particular morning, she was in her crib and just sleeping, not doing nothing. And we're looking at our daughter. For an hour and a half, no exaggeration, staring. Wow. And it's like, time is going, and I don't even feel nothing with both of us. Like, and the Lord spoke to me, see what you're doing? You're so, you know, just like a magnet. And what is this, what is she doing for you? Does she say daddy? Does she walk, move or something? Nothing, no performance. She's just sleeping, moving her belly. And you just look at it. Oh, wow. Why? Because it's yours. Yeah. Yours. You belong to Him. He's looking. He's looking. He's looking at you. No need of performance. He's enjoying His creation. Come on, somebody got to get this. That's what I'm trying to get, the Isaac look. God is looking at me. He likes me. David says He likes me. There's a scripture that says He likes me. That's why He made me a king, because He liked me. How many know that He likes you? He's just not just, oh,
I love you. Okay, I have to love you, so I love you.
You know, because if you listen to teachings, you know, sometimes they reduce love to
choice. I choose to love you.
But you have to choose to love. Don't you just do, you know? I mean, what is this? We kind of make a choice bigger than love. Wait a minute. Love is so big. He'll choose, but because it's love. Come on. If I start saying, Winnie, I choose to love you, I choose to kiss you, I choose to love you, I choose to kiss you, she'll start wondering after a while. Is it that bad? You have to choose. We've been there. We've been there where our marriage was going nowhere, and God came. The Holy Spirit came, restore her. Restore her right in front of me in a meeting like this with the Holy Spirit. The worship started, and Winnie just began to weep and cry. And she didn't have a mascara proper for weeping. She had a normal, nothing happens in church kind. Because for nothing had happened for her for many years. 7 years to be exact. You know, I tried to drag her by the hair sometime. I felt like, come on, baby. And she says, I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to go to these meetings. She didn't even quit going to my meetings. I was a miserable evangelist because my own wife doesn't want to come to my own meetings. But I couldn't blame her because she was just so discouraged and so felt like God doesn't love her anymore or whatever. And I couldn't help her. All my best principles couldn't fix her. I had keys for everything, you know. I had keys, but she kept confusing key number 2 with door number 5, you know. She kept putting the wrong keys, the wrong principles, you know. And finally, we went to this meeting where the liquid glory came through the worship. And during the worship, the Lord showed up for her. And she was so stunned, didn't have any repentance speech ready, nothing. And He just gave her a hug and restored her in front of me. And so that, amen. He did it. I didn't. God did it. And she laid 3-lane highway here, 2-lane highway the whole week. She was a mess because the mascara was leaking. Now she's got the heavy-duty kind, the waterproof, rain-proof. Let it rain, let it pour. I'm ready. Woo, now she's laughing. She's like Isaac. I have an Isaac on my hand. It's my wife. She laughs all the time. She laughs because she knows she couldn't fix herself. She knows I couldn't do nothing. God fixed her. Amen. And God fixed the marriage supernaturally. It's available. We're just releasing it. In fact, I prophesied that the next revival, the next as a new apostolic generation is rising right within this leadership here. It will be such a decline for divorce. It'll be amazing. People will run here to find love. Love where there's no way to find love. Love appears. Love appears supernaturally where there's no love. God shows up. Isaac shows up. Fruitfulness, love, amen. It's available. And we just release it. It's just out of your belly, out of your innermost being, flows rivers of love, rivers of joy. This is the fruit of the Spirit. That's your fruit. Don't take it personal. The fruit of the Spirit is exactly that, fruit of His Spirit. So don't get burdened yourself like you have to produce this love. No, believe He can do it through you. Hello. You get the difference? Okay, now I'm moving into my sermon here. Because I have a point, you know. Believe it or not, I'm all over the place, but because I just get scattered a little bit and get drunk and I forget my train of thought. Everything you turn is just, oh, I want to. You want to drink it here, you want to drink it there. I'm amazing. Oh, everywhere. You know, the Word is alive and liquid. And it's like you can dive in. It's like a pool for me. When the anointing hits, like during the worship, I had to go in the back where there's a little light to see because God is speaking to me. And it just like, it comes to life. It's like a pool. You dive in the Word. You know, you dive and you know, like in the water, in eyes, you see things big. God gets big. You know, devil gets smaller and smaller. Problems get smaller and smaller. Solution gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Right? But you got to drink it. You got to drink until you see things. That's what Winnie says. I'm preaching her sermons. Maybe we have a little extra chocolate dessert at the end. We have a little Winnie at the end. To just, a little spice up. After dinner drink from Winnie. I mean, we had a huge hangover because we were just in Reading with the students, over 1,000 students. Oh, my. It's one of the most favorite school to ever go to. It is amazing, especially the first year. They were screaming the entire time. I lost my voice there because I tried to speak to them, but they're so loud. Ah, just glory, just... You know, explosive, liquid glory, liquid fire. Lonnie was with us one day, and she wrote, and she says, a bliss riot happened. They just, it just And just, I don't know if you've ever been hit by lightning. I've been hit by lightning. I know what happens. I was in this parking lot in Florida, and it hit a lightning. It wasn't like, but it was like, it was like, boom, in the air, and it just went everywhere. It's like it hit a whole region, like thing. The entire Home Depot became electrified, and I was just, we were running from the rain, you know, into the, and I was, and people were just running because it was lightnings, and we couldn't make it to the door. And I was like electrified. Oh my gosh, did I get hit by lightning or what? And so we're looking, people, because it's just like in a daze, you know. And sometimes God just hits with lightnings like that. Boom. And his students were going, it's like they're not doing any normal like renewal kind of, ooh, you know, or whatever the manifestation. The normal, it was totally unusual. It was like, it's just like for half an hour, the students were like, ooh, remember that? Just a bliss ride, just, ooh. Yeah, that's lightnings of God. Holy Ghost, lightnings of love, lightnings of joy. And then the whole atmosphere just gets so charged. Give me the look, please. You know, I go to Israel, and this last year, this possession, this year, we had the whole church full of Jewish, a lot of young people, Jewish young people. And I go crazy seeing the Jewish faces. Oh, I don't pinch every single one of them. I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you. You know? And the Lord spoke to me just as I was doing this to all the Jewish young people. You know, all the Israeli. And the Lord says, how come you don't do that to the Gentile believers? I go, because they don't look Jewish. He says, give him the look. Oh, I can do? Yes, give him the Isaac look. Because we are likened to Isaac. We are like Isaac, brethren. Amen? So that's what I'm doing. I'm just giving you the Isaac look. I'm chosen. He loves me. He likes me. He fell in love with Abraham, so I'm getting blessed. He says, he fell in love with your ancestors. That's why he's blessing you. Come on, don't take it personal. You are in the favor because you receive the favor. You embrace Christ and the favor of God is all over you. The favor of God is all over you because you're embraced. Come on, everybody give me like an embrace kind of thing. Oh, just hug him. Hug Jesus. Hug him right now. You know, and the cross, he's dripping with blood. Wow. And that's for you. That's for you. The priceless blood of Christ. The priceless blood of Christ is washing you and impregnate you. Every cell of your body, even your spiritually, your physically, every part of you is just paid for in blood. Total possession. To enter in. Just go ahead and let yourself into being completely possessed. And you know, one of my Jewish brothers, you know, before he was born again, this name is Michael, and he got in love with this woman and found out she's Gentile. So, oops, well, it's too late now. He's in love. So eventually they got married. She's a Christian type of anything. So after she got married, she started testifying to him and says, baby, I got to tell you, I'm born again and you need to get born again because Jesus, Yeshua, you know. He says, don't talk to me. I'm already in big trouble with my relatives because I married a Gentile. Now you're Christian. Double trouble. Don't say nothing. Not in front of my parents. Don't even say to me nothing about this Jesus. Okay. You know, and she's, Lord, what do I do? What do I do with this Jewish husband of mine? I want to witness to him. How do I do it? The Lord says, tell him to talk to me about it. So she says, okay, honey, I will not witness to you no more. I'm not going to talk about Yeshua no more. But as long as you promise, you will ask your God about who Yeshua is. So you go, okay, you got a deal. But he forgot about it. But he's a sailor, and now he's in the ocean, Indian Ocean, and get a huge storm. He's in his bunk, and start going like that. And, oh, he remembered, I need to talk to God. Oh, this is a good time to talk about God, to talk to God. Okay, God, my wife told me to talk to you about who's this Yeshua. You know, what is this Jesus, right? and go, and God didn't say nothing. He just allowed him to see with x-ray eyes his body. All of a sudden, he's in the bunk going like that, and he sees, like he sees like through the x-ray, you know, you see how he go through, and you see the bones, and you see the arteries, everything. He sees his arteries, and he sees the bloodstream bigger and bigger and more clear. And he's just amazed looking at his, and he can see his bloodstream in the vein, and the arteries going like a, and it gets bigger and bigger, and then he sees now the cells. And then every cell says, Yeshua, 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 Yeshua. Everything about you is stamped with the name of Jesus. Everything, 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 everything. That's why you should believe for that supernatural youthfulness and energy. To keep you alive and to keep you functional. Come on, if you're in the baby boomers, you're the Joshuas today. You're the Calebs today. We gotta stay young to take the young people into the promises. These young people, we gotta lead them. And we can't get old. Well, follow after me. We gotta stay young like Caleb at 80. You know, he swing the sword at 80 like he's 40. Come on. Everything about you has got his name on it. Every cell shouts praises. Shouts praises. I'm made by God. I'm made for him. My mind, my emotions, everything, your affections, everything has a shout for him. You're created for that. That's the existence he created on the cross. And the cross he paid to abolish all evil out of you. So you're totally filled with a supernatural existence. Evil-free existence. Take it. Is the Apostle Paul, Jesus speaking through Apostle, and we're the mouthpiece today declaring the truth over you. It's don't settle for anything less. He instructed Israel, don't go there and cooperate with the enemy. Destroy them all, because this is a type of shadow of what Jesus came to do, to destroy the works of the devil. Completely. Completely. And not leave one enemy alive in you to destroy everything inside you that is not of him. And you become just like Jesus. He was one walking, the first human being on earth who walked completely evil free. He said, the devil has nothing in me. Come on, somebody. Give him that, I believe it. Look, I'm chosen. And now Christ is in you. So he is able to, he is, to him is possible, to us is not, but to him is possible. And when we embrace him, he activates. And now in him, just like in him there was no evil, now in you, no evil, because Christ is in you. Don't believe this schizophrenic doctrines. Part of me is like a bad dog, and part of me is a good dog, you know. Like, this is the theology I was ordained with, like two dogs inside, and they're fighting all the time, the good dog and the bad dog. And the bad dog like a Doberman pincher. And the good dog, and as long as you feed the good dog and starve the bad dog and try to down dog, just suppress him. I mean, what kind of a dog theology is that? Come on, somebody. I'm just supposed to preach to you like there's two dogs in you. Please. What are you, a dog house? No, you're not a dog house. Religion wants to make us feel like we're dog house. Or outhouse, for that matter of fact. But we're not dog house. We are God's temple. Come on, somebody. Now you're giving me the look. You're the temple, the temple, the temple, the temple of the living God. The living God. There's no dogs. But the living God is, amen, is the living God. Oh, Jesus. The anointing is strong. The anointing is strong. Reviving, refreshing, renewing, strengthening, making you look younger. How many like 10 years off of your life? Just to look all of a sudden, you're 40, you look 30. Come on. It's possible. God sustained human beings in such a way that at 80, they act, felt, and looked like 40. Come on, somebody. 9 years old woman having kids. Come on, this is a supernatural nation you grafted in. Even before Christ, this was already functioning as a shadow type of what's available to you now because of Jesus. Now because of Jesus. Soul subbirthing. You, if you're here and not born again, this is your perfect moment to just receive it by embracing Jesus. By embracing Jesus. You don't have to take forever to repent. Just 2 seconds. You get a short repentance. Get to the point. And get to the real thing. Grab on Him. Embrace Him. Look at Him. Salvation is not a long, long, long drag on process. It's a look away. As Moses was raised, the snake, they looked upon the snake. And instantly, the plague finished. Instantly stopped inside their bodies. No more poison. No. One look upon the sign, which is Christ. Everything about the word is about Him. It's a preparation. It's a preparation forward for what's coming. Now we're looking back. And we see our old dog, whatever, was nailed to the cross. It was one old, big dog. All of us, we all had that one dog. It's not like many dogs. It's just our old man. It's not yours or mine, it's ours. It's a big dog. Old ugly dog. It was nailed to the cross. Look at it. You know, in Romans, there's three ways of looking at redemption. You know, and some stop at one, some take the other. But I like all three of them. Romans 3 and 4, Luther, Martin Luther, discover. You're justified by faith, believing. Look at what He's done and makes you just. Making justifies you. Makes you righteous. You know. But He stops there. You know. As long as you believe, He says you're okay, you're okay. You may not be okay, but as long as you believe you're okay, you're okay. I'm simplifying. But that's kind of the justification. That's the Lutherans. You know. But then chapter 5 is peace with God. Awakening reconciliation. Amen to that. Totally. I believe in it and I flow in it. That's why we go into the enemy's camp. Why? Because we have the authority to make him friends. We're not there to just tap him in the back for being terrorists. Now we're going there so we change him. Feed him until they stop killing you. There's anointing of peace. Reconciliation. We're ambassadors. And we carry the power to turn enemies into friends. Come on. Amen. It's there. It's all over the word. It says he by means of his death, but now by the means of his physical death, the physical death of Jesus Christ, God has made you his friends. So there's reconciliation. God made you again because of the physical death of Jesus. God made us his friends in order to bring us holy, pure, and faultless into His presence. But you must, of course, continue firm, established in this faith and that sure foundation. And the preaching of the gospel is establishing the sure foundation of what our peace with God is. Where is our righteousness and our purity and holiness is when we're stepping in nothing but His works of what He has done on the cross and what He's able to manifest through you. And our part is the responding, the yes and amen. Abba, you know, wow, I believe. Aman, Abba. You said that Jesus is death, you know, and that's the Romans 6, you know, it's where it's this outrageous doctrine that we believe. It's like the least, you know, popular, you know, the Romans 6. Is justification, reconciliation, and we're like the interactive doctrine. They call it participation. It's like interactive. Celebration, winning celebration. The celebration doctrine. And that we participate. We were participating in his death. That on the cross, he didn't just die for us, but we died with him. Our old dog died with him. that's what Romans 6, first half of the Romans 6 discusses. It's the least, you know, preached about. And people agree. But yeah, basically, okay, you know, if you
positionally, you know.
He's got this carrot, always like, never get it. But Romans 6 gives it to you. Take it. Take it. You don't have to, you know, just the carrot religion. Huh? Someday, just keep going and eventually get. Yeah, that's that carrot. Get that carrot, make a carrot cake out of it. Eat it right now. It's yours. Eat it right now. Eat it right now. Don't procrastinate. Nothing positional. Nothing progressive is procrastination to me. Don't procrastinate. He wants you to have it now. One look, boom, and they have it all. One look and there's their redemption. One look and salvation. One look and Christ is in you. Because it's not... Get it. You know, you want to get it. So what do I do? I want to, you know, get it like you got. And it just dawned on me. Because you know... Faith is a substance that comes in you from externally. Faith comes. It's not something you have to do. There's evidence in the scriptures that faith is not something you do. Am I messing with you? Good. Some of you look like you need a brain bypass. We give it one. First, we give it the laughing gas, and then when you go through the tunnel, goodbye to your old brain. Bye bye. Goodbye to my old brain. If I only had a brain now. You get a new one now. And the way out the tunnel, new. It can be that simple for some of you. All these strongholds and addictions and everything is claims ownership over you. We'll drop it right here. Begin in the tunnel. You get baptized. They went through the water. Supernatural. God parted the Red Sea. On the other hand, the enemy is no more after you. Look at him. One look. Just final look at the enemy. Blow that. Float in. Drown. He came to destroy the devil's, the wicked one. To destroy the works of the wicked. The cross destroyed. The works of Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. And so that you can live to a new place, a freedom place, where you worship Him and you're free to worship Him exclusively and to experience all His blessings. Come on. And this is what we're passing on, young generation. Young generation, we're just going to take you. We're just going to lead you. We're just going to take you all the way into the promises. And we're not going to just kind of give you the baton, but we're going to run for a while. Come on. We're going to run together for another 2, 20, 30, 40 years until we just push you all the way into the promises. All the way into the fullness where all the promises are yes and amen. And yes and amen. And yes and amen. Nothing is no. Everything is yes. Yes. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. Everybody shout yes. And amen. No choice. As everything is yes and amen. It's not yes and no. You notice that? When it comes to His promise, it's not yes and no. I'll choose which promise to give. I'll choose some no, some yes. No, He took all the noses. No more big noses, okay? So quit picking, you know. It's always yes. Yeah, people pick on the nose. Like, well, I have a free will. Yeah, right. So what good was it for you? You didn't choose me. I chose you, remember? Why? Because your will was freedom, free but faulty. Almost free, kind of, sort of. I mean, I just mess with people sometimes. I'm having fun. Oh, you have free will. Okay, why don't you sit here and don't go to the bathroom then. Go ahead, exercise your free will. Exercise your free will. Stop breathing. Come on. It's all yes and. Yeah, but it doesn't say choose which you're going to serve. Choose whom you're going to serve. You're going to serve these gods, you're going to serve me. No. The choice was already made. Joshua says, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now you pick which of these foreign gods you're going to serve. If you don't want to serve our God, then choose which of these wicked gods you're going to serve, that God or that Balaam or this other God. That's the choice. We have no choice. Come on, somebody. What choice is it? Go to hell or go to heaven? What kind of a choice is that? Anyway, am I an idiot? I'm a Bulgarian, but not that dumb, you know. That, I don't call that a choice. Thank you very much. Yes and amen. I like the yes. That's the language of heaven, is yes and amen. The tree of life has yes and amen, not yes and no. That was the old tree. Stop picking that old tree. Yes and amen. The new tree's got just blessings. Everything is good. Blessing, 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 blessing. Yes and amen. Some look at me like I'm making this sovereign doctrine here. No, I didn't make it up. God revealed it to me, and I was used to. I was used to not having sovereign will because between my mother and the communists, I never had free will. I'm used to that. No choice. Oh yeah. I know what that's like. So now I got God. Okay, I believe your sovereignty. I wasn't prepared by my mother. You know, you're sovereign. I'm not. Oh, come on, somebody. The Bible says His love leaves us no choice. I'm not making this up. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. It says, His love leaves us no choice. When love comes, your history. Once His hand came into Brent's life, you think He has a choice? It's too late, buddy. You won't look at her and you're done. It's over. Hey now, don't dream. It's over. One look at Jesus and you're done. And you have the power to release the eyes of the heart to see Jesus. This is the power of the preaching of the truth. The truth is more powerful than the lies. Amen. So when you're preaching, when you're giving testimony and they don't have faith, no problem. You got it. You got faith. They don't have faith. Your listeners don't have faith, but they're listening. And you got faith, right? So if they don't have faith, that's no problem because you do. If you have faith, you can give it to them. Because faith comes to us by hearing someone else who's got it. See how wonderful it is? That's how we pass the baton. From us, they've been passed on to us. From someone who believed, spoke, looked at us. And you go, what is this? A new drug. No, it's not drug. It's Jesus looking at you. Someone who had it gave it to me. Me, the tall 80s. The communist says, we finished with him. We indoctrinated him. Oh, no. No, you haven't seen nothing yet. One look at the eyes of Jesus inside the believers. And you go, what is this? And you can't take it off of your mind because these eyes, they just... In Psalm says, take away your flashing eyes. Your flashing. There's a flash of love in the eyes of the believer. Is the flashing eyes of Jesus. You know, the same word is used in Revelation. The flashing eyes of Jesus. He's just eyes that burn. Eyes that just... Eyes that stamp that what's it called when you do that to the animals they branding. Yes, He branded me with His eyes. He branded us with His eyes. We have no eyes for no one else but Jesus. He's our God. This is what conquered the earth. This is what conquered the Roman Empire. The Caesar is not Lord. Jesus is Lord. It's stamped on the eyes of the believers. Come on, somebody. You got it. You got it. You got to give it away. The only reason you don't feel it is because you're not giving it away. As you're giving it away, you get it. You already got it. Give it away and you're going to get it. The more you give it, the more you get it. Come on, the more you give it, the more you get it. Give him a smile. Give him a look. Give him the look of deliverance right now. Breaking the bondage right now. One look and the death is over. The death is over. One look and the sickness is over. One look and the lies are over. One look and the addictions are over. One look. One look. Give it away. Give it away. It's coming out. It's coming out. It's in you. If they don't have faith, no problem. You got it. Give it to them. Give it to them. We release it. We release it. We release it. Just give it away, church. You'll load it. You want more of the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost, no, no, no. I need to let me out. I've got all I've got in you already. Just let me out. Good to see you, buddy. That is boy. That is boy. Abba, 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 Abba loves you, chose you. Chose you to reveal His greatness in you. Chose you to reveal how wonderful He is. Chose you to reveal what a lover He is. What a generous, generous sign and what a miracle He is. He picked you. Come on, I release your affections. I release your affections. Your dad is Jewish. Come on. You know, when the prodigals was coming home, the father didn't just sit there like all these other fathers did. He was already embarrassed. He didn't care. He had no reputation. He picked up his skirt. That's not supposed to do that. Show your legs.
It's not supposed to run. Your father is supposed to go slow.
No, no, no. Not that father was in love. He's showing about the father's love. He picked up his skirt and he ran. He ran. He ran. He ran. And fell on him. Fell on his neck. He fell on his neck. He didn't just give a little. Oh, my son. No, no. He fell on his neck. Same word. He fell on his neck. The Holy Spirit fell on a place. The same word. Oh! Okay, I'll finish. And maybe a little dessert with Winnie. Drink. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Come on, come on. Just give me that embracing look. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace. It's important that you don't misinterpret yourself as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. Romans chapter 12. The kind of chapter that from religious eyes can kill you. That's what destroyed my wife temporarily. This particular chapter, because it can be totally misinterpreted. You know, and I remember memorizing this chapter in this ministry we were in. And she just got in so much bondage. But look at it now. Come here, baby. Look at it now. Oh, wow. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us, not by what we are and what we do for Him. Come on, somebody. You can never figure out who you are, what you are. Look at Him. That's how you figure it out. Look at what He's done. You get an idea what you're all about. I give up the microphone. Oh, I preach myself happy.
Oh boy.
I did.
Thank you. Wow. Hurry.
I asked, yeah. Okay.
What?
No, no, go ahead. No. I asked what's the time limitation. Oh. So we have a few more minutes.
Oh, yay. we can have some more decadent chocolate. Oh! Well, oh my gosh. It's... Oh! I don't even know where to start because we never finish. You know, it's an ongoing, never-ending table of the Lord. It's filled with the richest food. It's whoa! We have been in this kind of behavior. Look at him. He does this to strangers too. He does. And then in a few minutes, they're no longer strangers. They are no longer strangers. He's kissing that guy on his head. Oh, my stars. You know, I can't even, you know, really begin to get into anything other than Georgian talked about belonging. You know, belonging. And in the book of Galatians, it says, those who belong to Christ have, you know, something has happened. For those who belong to Christ. So when you know you belong to Him, the rest of the verse is yours also. And the rest of that verse says, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. This is the most yummy dessert chocolate ever. When you get it. Freedom! When you get it. When you get it. If you belong to Him. Look at it like this. If you belong to Christ, this has taken place on your behalf. This is what He accomplished for you on the cross. The crucifixion of the old dog. That old flesh dog. How else are you supposed to belong to Christ? How else are you supposed to have intimate love, sweet, peaceful, happy relationship with Him? How else is it possible? He's done the ultimate for those of you who still cannot get it. For those who are still struggling, you're struggling. And one day you'll wake up and realize you'll eat that piece of chocolate and you'll go, He did it. I have been struggling all these years, trying to overcome, struggle. And one moment you will realize, you will drink that wine, His love wine, His blood wine. You will drink it. Oh! Oh! This is a scandalous dessert. Scandalously delicious dessert. Guaranteed to make you fat and rich. rich the right way. You will have excessive abundance to give away. Whoa! It's the scandalous dessert. How did we get on this food theme? Oh yeah, right? Because in the beginning we had the main course. This is the full meal deal. Whoa! And it's, you know, we are participationists. We are celebrationists. That's a new name. I just made it up the other day. I'm a celebrationist. Yahoo! It's a big job. It is a huge job. You see, my voice is like thrashed. We've been screaming with joy and ecstasy for 2 days straight. You know, teaching hungry students, giving them that, you know, the bread of his body, the wine of his love. He actually said, here's my body, take it. Here's my body. You have to sooner or later take it. Sooner or later you have to take the body of Christ and do with it whatever. He gave us his body. He gave us his blood. The church is very familiar with his blood. The washing, cleansing, forgiving. Yes, yes. But what are you doing with his body? Oh. You have to ask the Holy Spirit, what do I do with this? What do you do with it? His body given over for your absolute freedom. You have to know what he gave you. Wow, you have to act like you believe it. You are privileged to display to this world what he did when he gave you his body. Forgiveness is entering in. Don't just settle for the forgiveness. I mean, you can stay there, but there is more. There's more. There's more. You're much more than forgiven. Much more. Wow. Hey. Ha ha ha. Woo. Ho. Oh. Wow. Wow. Much more than forgiven. So, you know, it's, you just got to get with the Holy Ghost. You got to get with the Holy One. You got to lock yourself away. Got to lock yourself away with him to find these things out. Find these things out. The Spirit will tell you. What do you do with his body that he gave? Ha 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 ha. Wow. We better do fire tunnel. We better get that thing going. Better get it going. And maybe someone's going to get revelation of what to do with that body of Christ. as they're going through. Whoa, all kinds of stuff happens. It's the... Woo. Whatever.
All right. Just a little bit of instruction first.